This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The UNC Board of Governors is reviewing more than two dozen centers and institutes across the UNC system for potential elimination, consolidation, or funding cuts. This review is the third phase of a process ordered by the General Assembly earlier this year. Representatives from each center or institute gave presentations to the Board of Governors Working Group on Wednesday and Thursday. They answered questions about their purpose, their finances, and their impact on campus. This review has stirred controversy. Some assert that it is a political move designed to target particular institutions. Others say it is a system-wide nonpartisan activity. We're joined now by WUNC reporter Jeff Tabiri, who's been following the story. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Frank.
Tell us how this review came about and kind of what give us the scope of this review as well.
Sure. So the General Assembly ordered this review earlier in 2014, asking the UNC Board of Governors, or a subcommittee, not officially a committee, to consider reallocation of funds from centers and institutes across the statewide UNC system, specifically if they could come up with, you know, about $15 million. They would have to eliminate a lot of centers or cut significant funding from a number of centers to even approach that number. Ultimately, these are not centers that receive high appropriations of state funding. So this is the third phase, as you mentioned. They've looked at various metrics in the first two phases. It started with about 240 centers and institutes. And what we've deciphered, what the chairman, Jim Holmes, told me was that anything that any center that had a budget of less than $50,000 or an economic return ratio of less than 2 to 1 or any that received more than $100,000 of in-kind support, those were three of the criteria that pushed many of the centers through to this phase.
All right. And in this phase, you said we start with about 240 centers system-wide, down to 34 centers in this phase, and about 27 of them actually got to, in a sense, make a presentation before the subgroup this week. Tell us about that.
Correct.
Those presentations.
So there were 34 that were announced last Friday by this partial group of the Board of Governors. Seven are self-reviewing, and it sounds like several of those universities, various campuses have said, you know what, we might be able to roll this into an academic department. This needs further review on our end. So the board is now looking at 27. And they vary significantly, you know, from Wilmington to Cullowhee, where Western Carolina is, and we're talking about risk and insurance centers to a poverty center and a center on Cherokee Indian. So there's certainly some diversity within the centers. Among the presentations, one of the ones that, you know, stood out to us in the gallery, those who were there watching, one of the most contentious or spirited exchanges came regarding the Center for Civil Rights at UNC's Law School. And Ted Shaw was the presenter. And one of the sticking points in this was about advocacy. And one of the board members, Stephen Long, said that there is no diversity of opinion in this center. He said, you know, all the writings and all the literature that he had come across from the Civil Rights Center pointed out that there's a point, but no counterpoint. And what Ted Shaw, the presenter, and also the outgoing dean of the law school said is that this is not an advocacy group. They're unapologetic in the sense that, you know, at times they are advocates because that's naturally what lawyers do. What they do is they're training the next generation of civil rights attorneys.
And you talked to Ted Shaw after the hearing. Here's what he told you.
I guess the committee has a right to ask those questions, but my response is that lawyers advocate. And as we teach lawyers, we're teaching lawyers to advocate. And so how you do that in a non-advocate way escapes me.
All right, so there's Ted Shaw, law professor at the UNC Chapel Hill, director of the Center for Civil Rights. So, look, Jeff, a lot of this centers on controversies around Gene Nickel, who is director of the Center on Poverty, Work, and Opportunity. And, you know, folks are saying in many ways this is both the left and the right saying that this is in some ways a referendum or due in part to his work on campus. Tell us how he fits into all of this.
I talked to a couple of faculty members and students in the last few days who said on campus they've been calling this the Gene Nickel censorship initiative. He is an outspoken, very outspoken critic of the Republican-led General Assembly, and he has written some op-eds that are quite harsh toward the Republican-led General Assembly. And he said that that has resulted in threats to him that the Poverty Center would be closed. And, you know, he's been told through some private and back channels and some not so back channels that he needs to stop writing these op-eds. And, you know, his feeling is that this is not a review, as some have said, that is necessary for these centers to make sure that they're efficient and that there's oversight and that they're serving a purpose. But this is, you know, a politically motivated exercise that is, in some people's minds, trying to silence him.
All right. Here's Gene Nickel.
I don't see how you could look at the list of centers being reviewed in Chapel Hill and not come away with the notion that this is has a very heavy partisan political agenda.
All right, so there's a question. So you have lawmakers and others accusing Gene Nickel of using his position in the center for a political agenda. Gene Nickel and others saying that all of this investigation into how to handle and whether to cut centers is itself politically motivated, back and forth. So there's the question. You talked to Jim Holmes of the UNC Board of Governors. Tell us about him and what he told you.
So Holmes, just briefly, is a managing partner of an insurance consulting firm in Raleigh, and he is the chairman of this working group. He was approved by the General Assembly. They, the GA, 16 members of the Board of Governors come or voted by the House, and 16 are voted by the Senate. And you know, Jim Holmes says that this is not political. This is a review that is needed. That there is not any kind of policy that you know, looks at creation of centers or looks at, you know, what centers are doing. And in addition to the review, he has said that what needs to happen is that there needs to be some language about the creation of centers and you know, how they come about moving forward.
You know, it's really not. Once you get to this board, this is really not a partisan activity. We represent the University of North Carolina. There's not one person on this board that doesn't want to do what's right for the enterprise as a whole. It's not a partisan effort. We're here trying to do the best we can for the whole system and to be sure that we're executing on our charge.
And that's Jim Holmes, UNC Board of Governors member, who is leading the review of centers and institutions across the UNC system. And of course, one of the other discussions around all of this is why there are institutes and centers at all. Why are they not? And this was one of the questions raised by members of the board. Why are they not just part of their departments? Tell us about that discussion.
Right. So what largely happened this week was there would be presentations of 10 or 15 minutes, and then the board would offer questions. They'd ask for clarification. They would ask them to update the numbers that they had given to the board. And a couple of the questions that, you know, came up time and time again had to do with just that, with, you know, couldn't this civil rights center, couldn't this women's center, couldn't whatever center or institute really be under the political science department or the African and Afro-American studies or whatever the department was? And the two most common answers we got or we heard was that first, you know, being a center, being an institute allows for greater reach, allows for these bodies, these whatever they might be doing, whatever the mission may be, to reach across campus and be more welcoming and, you know, include faculty from various departments and reached out to students in a number of different majors. They're truly interdisciplinary. The other point that came up, which was interesting, is that, you know, these are a vehicle to raise money. And Chancellor Folt, who is not an official presenter, Chancellor Carol Folt of UNC Chapel Hill, actually responded to a question at one point yesterday. And she just said, you know, these are vehicles for fundraising. And, you know, what they have found is that a lot of people don't have a particular interest in necessarily giving money back to the political science department. But if we're saying the Public Policy Institute or this center or that center, it has really helped in generating not only private money, but also if it doesn't fall under that department umbrella, it makes it oftentimes eligible for grant money, different grant money, and also corporate giving.
This review has certainly stirred controversy. There were student protests. Tell us about those.
There are about probably 50 students over the course of the 2 days. They lined the walkway to the General Administration Building on Wednesday, holding signs, chanting about the purpose of the university and reciting the mission of the university. They then sat quietly, peacefully in the board meeting on Wednesday with black tape over their mouths. They've said, and a lot of the students I spoke to say that this is really a misguided political attack. The centers that they were talking about, they say are part of, you know, the fabric of the various campuses across the state. They're not for-profit centers. They shouldn't be looked at by lawmakers or by administrators through that light. And, you know, at the heart of it, what they're really doing is they're serving the people of the state, both students and folks that have never attended a UNC campus. Some of the students I talked to also talked about, you know, concerns they have about the makeup of the Board of Governors.
Vishal Reddy is one of those students.
It's strange that this Board of Governors is here to make best decisions for students and communities. Yet, if just looking at the demographic makeup of the Board of Governors, they definitely, on paper, don't even represent the population in general.
Vishal Reddy, a junior at UNC Chapel Hill, his response to the Board of Governors review. What is the makeup of the board demographically?
It is 32 people, and you know, to be taken with a grain of salt because I haven't seen everyone. I'm basing this off of names and pictures on the internet, but the vast majority of the board is white. There are, at least what is evident through pictures, two members who are African American, and there it doesn't seem it's not obvious if there are any members that are Latino or Asian or represent other. Minority groups. So, you know, that was part of what Vishal said to me yesterday is just that, you know, this isn't a group that is representative of many of the campuses across the state when you consider there are, you know, half a dozen historically black colleges and universities within the UNC system and also the, you know, the state population on the whole.
Got 20 seconds left. What's next?
Holmes says a report will be finished in the next month. Presented at the January 16th meeting, conventional wisdom is that the full board will then kind of process that document and vote on it, all 32 members, at the meeting in February.
Thank you very much. Jeff DeBerry, reporter who has taken a look at the review of the centers on NC campuses. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Frank.
Just ahead, we're going to hear the first authorized biography of Jerry Lee Lewis. You'll hear it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.